Welcome back to the Scouts and I podcast. My name's Emma and I work as a Growth and Development Officer. And this week we are joined by Richard Dorian, who is the Northern Ireland Commissioner for Crawfordburn and for Activities. So welcome, Richard. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
And so this week we're going to talk about the big sleepout in the Silent Community that took place at the end of November. But before we talk about this event and how it went, I just wonder if you want to tell us a bit about yourselves and the current roles you hold in Scouting or the roles that you have had.
At the minute, I'm coming to the end of my term as Commissioner of Crawfordsburn and Commissioner of Activities, but I still hold a Scout Leader role in Third and Lards, which I have held since I was about 18. Straight out of
long time.
It would be now the 18. I think going back then, Benchers were about 21, so it was about around when I was about 20, 21.
Yeah,
was lassoed by the Scout Leader.
You just get rid of it and get rid of you.
I was brought into the fold and I've been there ever since. And now
awesome.
I'm working with the team of leaders in the Scout troop.
Yeah.
And on that, which is where I really want to be, because it's the place you can make the most difference. Over the 4 years in Scouts, you can see the kids developing and learning and being able to use those skills that we're teaching them. So I'm looking on one hand sad, believing my commissioner roles, but on the other hand, I'm looking forward just to getting back and working full time with the young people in the troop.
You know. Great to get back into it. How long have you been in the commissioner roles for?
5 years. For these commission this commissioner. Before that, I was district commissioner in Strangford.
Oh, brilliant.
Before that, I had a county mountain activities advisor for County Down. So it's been a long stint of extra activities.
Had all the roles.
I'm just looking forward to just getting back and concentrating solely on one and trying to make a difference, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what we're all here for and what we're here to do. So it'd be great for you to get back into grip level. That's where you need to be.
Yeah. Apart from that, you know, I don't really have anything else in my life. my wife keeps reminding me that I do have a family. And again, it's spend a bit more time with them. The two boys are grown up, so I don't have to worry about them. So it's just to spend a bit more time with my wife Jenny and get out at weekends instead of going out to scouts and
stop scouting so much and
different events, real world. You know? A whole new world I'm not used to, you know.
I know, all the free time you're going to have. What organising events.
Don't say that too loudly. Somebody will be knocking or ringing the door, you know.
I know, when you're available.
Yeah.
So we'll get into then talking about the big sleepout that took place. So I think we had, was over 600 attended in the end?
Yeah, I think it was, I think it was about 480, 500 young kids, 120 leaders, and then there was the organizing team as well, so it wasn't far off 600.
No, it was a brilliant event. So I think the first thing we're going to talk about is, so why did you choose the Silent Community as sort of a community impact partner, or what made you want to do this event?
Before COVID, as the county commissioners and the NI team, we were at Crawfordsburn meeting all the community partners. And the Simon community were there and they were giving their talk on what they were doing. And after that, I'd seen quite a lot of local groups and troops doing their sleep out in their own individual area, around their halls and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then during COVID, I was thinking that, you know, people are supporting the Simon community in small wee teams.
Yeah.
Why don't we bring the whole of Northern Ireland together and work an awful lot closer with the Simon community and really make an impact as a big event?
Yeah, definitely.
Then coming out of COVID, it was sort of, you know, nobody's really running big events because you know, people don't want to go for weekends. There was, you know, all grey areas around how many people would come and that side of thing. And with this event just being an overnight, you know, that type of thing, it would be an awful lot less worry.
Yeah,
and at the stage that we ran it, it was enough time after COVID.
Yeah.
And it was good to have a big Northern Ireland event back where people could come and mix and see people from other areas of Northern Ireland, but also supporting a worthwhile and a local charity, you know, and it's one that when people are walking down the street, they'll see the impact that the Simon communities, you know, the people that they're working with. And I think, you know, it did open a few eyes during the event.
Oh, definitely. I think the kids were very much, I think they were, it learned so much, I think, come out of the event that I think they didn't know beforehand or didn't realize that the Simon community did at such a local level.
Yeah. It just opened their eyes quite, you know, wide. Mm-hmm. And everybody was worried about doing it in November because it was going to be absolutely freezing. I think the only
people that was a big worry, wasn't it?
I think the only people that were freezing were the leaders and the organising team. I think the kids were packed in so tightly that there was no way they were going to be freezing. Maybe the ones around the outside were, but the ones in the middle.
That's the thing. You always worry about the kids, don't you? Making sure they're okay, and then you don't think about the leaders or anybody else.
Yeah. Now there was some discussion that people found hard to sleep near me because of apparently there was snoring going on. But I would debate that I found it hard to sleep because there was so much teeth chattering going on with the leaders that were near me.
Too much talking.
But no, that's the reason. You know, it's what the Simon community is, one of our community impact partners.
Yeah, and they are.
It's a local. They're supporting people locally to us.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, how we were able to support them was quite easy.
Yeah.
And we managed to give them quite a big return. As well, on the event, we handed over a check for £2,500, and there was another couple. There was one troop done a sponsored walk, and they raised another £210. I think it was. And then there was another group donated just over another £100, and then with each young member and leader brought an item on the welcome list for the Simon community. And the Simon community were running backwards and forwards about 4 days trying to get all this stuff off.
Not get all the stuff. It was mass piles like of stuff.
They couldn't get it a van, so they were running backwards and forwards in their cars, and it took them about 4 days, and there were still quite a load there. So I was down at Christmas at Crawfordsburn on the Monday night, and I said, no, opened up the back of my car, down went the seats, and everything got packed in and took it up to the Simon community on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
So they're reckoning that the value of the items that we donated was in around the area of about £2,000.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They couldn't believe the amount that was brought.
Yeah.
And they valued the sort of calculation they can do, and they were valuing it for about £2,000. So it's not far off about £5,000.
I was gonna say, just over one night of
reason. Yeah. So it's an absolute magic achievement from you know, the participants and scouts that they've raised nearly the value of £5,000 for the same community, and they're more than happy. That's going to go well for delivering their program over Christmas and into the new year, you know.
Definitely. No, it's such vital work they do. So it's great that we could donate so much to them. I didn't think it was that much in the end. I didn't even realize they could value the stuff we donated.
Yeah. I think they've got somebody running about looking and going on the Tesco's website. yeah. So no, they were... You know, I've had a few phone calls after the event with the representatives in the Simon community.
Yeah.
Organising, you know, getting stuff picked up and one thing or another. And they just keep going. They're just in total shock and disbelief, you know, the amount of stuff and the amount of money that was raised in just over a 12-hour event.
Well, it wasn't even. Yeah, just over. We started at about 7 and they all left by 10. So it wasn't even. That's brilliant. What can be done, I guess, is what you can take away from that. Such a short amount of time. What could be done and what's donated. And that goes so far for them, especially with making their welcome packs.
Yeah. And it impacts on so many people as well.
No, you know? That's absolutely brilliant. So I guess that moves us on just to what was involved, I guess, in an organised event like this. I knew obviously the young people and the leaders were really there for one night, but obviously it was not organised in one night.
Yeah, I used to have a lot of hair and it used to be jet black. I've now got an awful lot less hair and it's pure white. But it started probably about the middle of summer.
Yeah.
We came up with the idea and I floated the idea with, you know, Jonathan and Stephen Donaldson.
Yeah.
And got the go-ahead from them to be able to run this.
Yeah.
Then we floated it with Crawfordsburn because I wanted to make sure that the Crawfordsburn committee were on board because Crawfordsburn weren't getting any income from this.
Yeah.
The whole income from the site fees were going straight out to the Simon community, and that was the whole agreement.
Yeah.
That it was going to be a community impact event.
Yeah.
So there was no problem there. It was a straight buy-in from Crawfordsburn committee. And then it was trying to get volunteers to help out. So it was straight on to the Northern Ireland Commissioner for Scouts, Anne, and the Northern Ireland Commissioner for Explorers, Michael.
Yeah.
And they were straight on board with it. So, you know, we started to get the nucleus and what we wanted to do in summer. Just before we probably broke off, because we wanted to make sure that we had things in place that we could tell the Explorer units and the Scout troops as soon as possible so we could get it into their calendar. We didn't want to leave it to the last minute. So we worked over the summer trying to get an idea together and working with yourselves on the development team. We managed to get the event put together just before September, the start of September, and we were able to get an expression of interest out at the start of September. And with that expression of interest, you know, we had about 500 people.
Yeah, it was a really good number, like, wasn't it, on the interest
form? Yeah, so it was a real good comeback, or, you know, feedback for us to say, yes, we've pitched it right, we've got the right event.
Yes, people really do.
And then we were working with the Wee Buns to sort of give them a bit of publicity within the event and give them something to do because they're wanting to try and get more into NI events. So give them the opportunity to do something within the event.
Yeah,
and then we sort of got the whole thing put together and all the websites were set up just before I cleared off for 3 weeks the event went live and it was all handed over to yourself, the commissioners to deal with, and I kept an eye on it from afar, but you know, it was.
Maybe you were checking that from the poll.
just once or twice, you know.
When you have
You know, the uptake of it was a wee bit slow, but that was to be expected. You know, when people were starting back and different groups start back at different times in September.
Yeah.
But you know, once the numbers started to roll in, they really rolled in.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and then getting the badge designed and getting it printed and getting it delivered and all that sort of stuff. I'd all had to be organized before I shot off. So
did you design the badge or was it somebody else?
I would like to say that I started the design. and then I give it to a guy that I know that actually designed the badge for us going away to Nepal.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
James. He sort of took my very, very rough, very rough idea and done a mock-up for it, which we passed around everybody and everybody was happy enough with it, and many thanks to James. So
brilliant. He did such a good, it's such a nice badge for him to have.
Mm-hmm. And it's one that's not out there, but if anybody needs one, we're selling them in the Crawfordsburn's tuck shop. There's not very many left over, so it's one to get up to the Crawfordsburn tuck shop and
brilliant.
but no, you know, once I came back, you know, we had more or less everything all signed, everybody signed up.
Yeah.
And then it was just working with the Simon community and working with the team. And at that stage, Emily, the Commissioner for Community Impact, was on board, and she sort of took over the activities, the bases that we ran.
She did run it, I think, and there was off actually, so she did.
During the event, and we had a base with the Simon community where they were able to ask questions and get a better understanding of what the Simon community did on the ground for the people that need it.
Yeah.
We did try and organise the weather. I did have a written contract with a certain person.
Be honest.
I don't know who angered him, but we didn't. It wasn't too bad. We had to move some of the activities around to try and get a bit more shelter. But
it's understandable for November. You sort of have to just take it as it comes. Like, you never know what's going to happen with the weather.
It was far better 2 weeks after for Christmas at Crawfordsburn. It didn't rain for a week. you've got to take these things, you know.
100%. Can't judge it. So what do you think then out of the event? What was the highlight then for you?
10 o'clock on Sunday. No, that's not right. No. I think, you know, just there's a couple of pictures floating about with the evening when everybody sort of bedded down before the lights went out.
I love that. Actually, it's a brilliant
one. All the young people all bedded down in their bivvy bags. Yeah. And, you know, just looking at that. I won't think back about all the noise. I'm trying to get everybody settled down. But just looking back at those pictures, and you know, being there, that was probably the highlight of actually seeing how many people were there and supporting, you know, the event and the charity. You don't see it when they're all running about.
No, that's why I love that photo, because you only ever had them at the bases about 100 at a time. It's hard to judge how many there was, and then you see them all lying down together. And it's just, there's a mass of them. It's really brilliant to see.
So, you know, that was probably the highlight, seeing the amount of people, you know, in one place.
Yeah.
And then it just actually dawned on how many people that we have supporting the event.
Yeah.
You know, seeing the face, or seeing Amanda's face from the Simon community as well, when we handed over the check.
Yeah.
She was totally blown away by the amount that was on the check. And then we said, yeah, we've got other donations from other groups. And she just couldn't believe it. The sort of downside was there was a teddy bear handed over, and it was handed straight past me. I didn't even get it. I was hoping it was one of those wee ones you put in the microwave and I could have put it in the sleeping bag that night. But it disappeared.
May or may not live here now.
I did hear rumor that Becca had it in her sleeping bag, trying to keep her warm, but or even Stephen Donaldson might have taken it.
You know, someone might have just taken it home, and he may or may not live in the office now with a scarf on. Do you know? He may or may not.
I can't see him peeking over your shoulder there.
My desk mate, he sits across from me.
No, so that was the highlight. Just actually visually seeing.
Yeah.
The numbers that were there, all in one piece.
Yeah.
The super highlight would have been able to look at that and them all be quiet.
True. You know,
I think we might have got, you know, about 5 or 10 minutes of quietness during the
game. I think that's what Becca said when she was playing security guard around the perimeter most of the night, that we were just chatting away at each other, which is great for them to see as well. Spending that night together and actually enjoying it. And do you think young people were able to learn then, or have a better understanding about homelessness in Northern Ireland, or?
I think from the feedback that we received from, you know, the leaders as word of mouth on the Sunday morning, I believe that they've now got a better understanding of the amount of homelessness in Northern Ireland. I think most of the kids were sort of blown away when they heard that that the Simon community are dealing with about 600 people.
Yeah,
you know, and that's just the people that are out on the streets. That's not including the people that are, you know, couch surfing.
It's almost staggering, isn't it? Like 80% are people who your homelessness just are couch surfing. So that's not even 600. That's
no
more than that.
you know. So it is quite shocking, and I think some of the kids were sort of taken back, and you know, I think they came away from the event with a better understanding. And I know that when we done the podcast with the kids after it, after the event, you know, some of the things I was sort of sitting listening to them, and some of the things that they were talking about that sort of hit them, you know, or hit hard with them. It sort of made you think, you know, something has got across to them. You know, they have listened, they have understood, and so it sort of thinks that the basis that we did and the talk from the same community was pitched at the right level.
Because
it's a big age band. You know, there was kids there starting out at Scouts, you know, 10 and a half, right up to the oldest explorer, just under 18. So it is a big age gap to try and pitch what we're trying to get over. But I think, you know, and the leaders were coming away saying to me, I didn't realize that. You know,
that's great. I think
it hit home to everybody. It doesn't matter what age they were on the event.
Yeah, and I think that there and there makes it a really successful event, that everybody came away and learned something and felt like they made a difference. I think was the whole purpose of the day.
Yeah, and I think it's really good that when people are saying, is this going to be an annual event?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going, well, I'm standing down in January, so you're going to have to take that up with somebody else. But maybe maybe it's a new event for the development team or for the Northern Ireland, you know, Scout and Explorer commissioners to take on.
Definitely.
Because, you know, from what people were saying, you know, is this going to be an annual event? Is this going to happen again? I think that it's an event that could grow and develop.
Yeah.
Because there are things that need to be developed.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you never get things right the first time around.
No, and it was only the first one. And as you said, you know, it was the first sort of really big scale event as well, coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of things to consider and a lot of things to do, but the fact that people want to do it again or interested again, do you know what I mean? That just shows you how great it was.
And I don't think the cold weather sort of put anybody off. I think it's part of the experience, and an awful lot of people wouldn't be getting that type of sleepover that time of year.
No.
So it's just something different. And the leaders loved it because there was no canvas to dry when they got back to their halls. It was a few bibby bags to shake the wet off, and that was it.
Not having to pick things up and washing knives to get it dried.
Yeah.
But no, that's great. No, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and to tell us all more about the event, because it was such a great night and I really, really enjoyed coming down, and I loved coming down seeing all the kids. They looked like they were having a complete ball, even though half of them were completely soaked and dripping, but but no, it was great. And as you said, so actually after the event, so on the Sunday morning, we interviewed six young people again from about three different Scout and Explore units. So we're going to cut across to them now and sort of hear what they thought about the event. So thank you so much, Richard, for joining me today.
No worries. Thanks for helping out with the event.
You're welcome.
Hi, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Scouts NI podcast. Today we're at the Big Sleepout at Crawfordsburn for the Simon community. And today we have some young people from First Monkstown, Third Ards, and First Island McGee.
Okay, so we're just going to go around the circle, let everybody introduce themselves. So we'll start on the side.
My name's Jude, and I'm from First Monkstown.
My name's Lewis, and I'm from First Monkstown.
My name's James, and I'm from Third Ards.
My name's Iris, and I'm from Third Ards.
My name is Anne, I'm from First Island McGee.
My name's Rory, and I'm from First Island McGee.
Lovely. So we're just really going to have a wee chat about sort of what we learned last night and how the night went. So obviously we had a lovely talk from Amanda from the Simon community that we all took part in. Was there anything that we heard or that we learned that really surprised us or shocked us or made us think more about homelessness? Yes, on you go.
Everyone. But it's literally everyone that can get homeless. Like, it's she said that it was like, she dealt with a person that was like 70.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like dealing with like families and young people. So just everyone.
Yeah, was that something that really surprised you all? That like literally anybody could be homeless, that it wasn't really a certain set of circumstances? Yeah.
This didn't really shock me, but I didn't know that the Simon community help people who are at risk of being homeless. I thought it was just homeless people. didn't know it was people at risk.
Yeah, that was surprising as well, wasn't it? Anything else we learned, or
just the numbers of people that helps? Mm-hmm. It's quite surprising.
Yeah,
how many people live over here?
Did anybody get a fact or figure for us? Anybody remember? No. In Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a big number, isn't it? When we think about it. And what else? Is there anything else we thought?
Like the extent that they help people. So like whether it could be like repairing their houses or helping them find jobs and their skills even.
Yeah.
Teach them how to want stuff. Oh, right. Yeah, just helping them like prevent like future like risks of being homeless.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. No, it was very shocking, isn't it, when we learned about it? And how did last night go then when we went on around all the bases? Did we get absolutely soaked?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But did we enjoy the bases? I know you should do activities about what it was like to be homeless. Was there any activity that you did that you really enjoyed, or?
The steps one was nice.
Yeah, which one was that?
The one that Michael was taking.
The one that Michael was taking. And what do we have to do in it?
It just like take a step forward. Well, if you had like, if you fit into a certain category, I know that probably sounds bad, like, but you know.
Was it like coloured hair or stuff like that? Yeah. And did anybody here end up being homeless?
I don't think so. Well, not that I saw.
It's all about privilege and how different things are usually out of your control. Can put you either ahead or behind on the housing list. Flattery will get you everywhere, dude.
Yeah, I know. I'll take my £10 later.
Yes, we're bribing all the children today. Yes, hon, what one was your favourite one?
I think I liked the one where they did would you rather questions and you had to go to where you would go if you wanted whichever one. Mm-hmm. And there were one, it started off at just like, would you rather be able to fly or invisible? But it gradually merged into questions like, would you rather sleep in a room with a bunch of strangers or out in the streets and stuff like that that relate to homelessness? And I thought that was just very, very like eye-opening, very well to see what it's actually like.
Did it make you think more about the possibility of being homeless?
Yeah.
And then I guess that takes us around to the sleeping outside last night, like a lot of homeless people do. How did we all find that?
A bit hectic. Like
cold.
Yeah. Hectic?
Yeah.
Yeah? Nobody enjoy it?
I mean, I was cozy whenever I slept, but like, you know.
It was a very good sleep, but there wasn't much sleep.
Yeah. And obviously, you were all together, so there was like 400 of you sort of all squished together. How do you think it would be if it was just you by yourself outside?
It would be much colder.
Yeah, far colder, yeah.
We're all together, sort of like preserved heat.
Yeah, there was that nice body heat going.
Yeah, but it's just a little bit more.
Pardon?
Might be a wee bit more quiet.
Yes, it could be a bit quieter. So it could be. I hear there was some music playing last night and some general rowdiness.
Oh, yeah. I got record rolled a couple of times, but you know.
Someone was playing a harmonica at one point.
Yeah, there was a harmonica getting off in the middle of the night, yeah.
Wow. So no sleep, some sleep.
About 3-4 hours sleep.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Yeah. And then how did it go at the campfire last night? Did we sing songs?
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right, yeah.
Yeah? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Kept me warm.
Yeah. Kept you warm, exactly. Yeah. So what was our favourite part if we had one of the whole night? Did we have one? Yes.
Probably just when you're in the bags, just getting to feel like sort of what it's like for a homeless person.
Yeah, and did it make you think more about maybe what it would be like to be homeless?
Because it's like it's different if you're in a nice cozy bed, to sleep under a shelter.
Yeah, wasn't fun, was it?
It was fun, but probably the stuff we did that we saw as fun isn't what the homeless people would have done.
No, I'm sure, because obviously they're doing it every night.
Yeah.
Whereas you know now you're going to go home to your nice cosy bed and get a cup of tea and get your jammies on, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
For me, the best part of the night was either getting to lie down and sleep or... When it was raining, when we got to go do the talk for the Simon community, when we got to go inside and it was nice and warm in there.
Well, it was nice and warm, wasn't it? Dry. Yeah, I'm sure that was dry. The best base of the whole night.
It was one of the best.
Gets you nice and warm and dry. Is there anything else?
Getting the sausage babs at the end of the night, that was good.
That was good.
They were good sausages.
Were they good sausages?
Yeah.
And were they good sausages because you were really cold, or were they just, it was just good food?
It was just good food in general. It's nice.
Well, that's good. So I guess the big question is then, would we do something, I guess, again in the Simon community? Would we come back?
Yeah, but maybe in summer, whenever it's a bit warmer.
Maybe in summer?
Yeah, when it's a bit warmer,
like all the different different seasons.
Yeah.
It's like for the reasons.
Well, then I guess if you're saying that, we'd have to do it in like January then, when it's even colder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we would do it in January.
Yeah, I won't be here for that one. I'll be in Austria. So.
Ooh, someone's going on holiday. So thank you all so much. And thank you everybody for listening. And we'll see you all next month.